I was writing
with Pei today, and he and the family are doing really well. The kids are liking school. The kids and Miao joined 2 months ago, and they're doing really well in Spain. They are, Lord willing, they will try to come and see us in end of December or in January was the plan, but it's a very loose plan, I think. But they seem to be doing well. Continue to pray for them and also for Pei's work. Yeah, but it seems like that they're doing well. Pei. So they are in Spain. He's been in Spain since the summer, and the family has been there 2 months. Today I'm thinking, I don't know, I hope it's encouraging every time, but today I think the message Paul has is really to encourage us all, no matter where we are and who we are and what state we are in and what status we have in society and in culture, he's encouraged us with who we are in Christ. If you need the sermon notes, they are in that folder there. You can see it. It's there in English and also translated into Ukrainian. So today's text will be, we have already heard this one a lot of times, so we'll just skip the introduction. Today's text will not be very long, but I think he's making a big point in these few verses. We'll read from, I repeat 17 from last time, and then through 24. And so that will be the text for today. Only let each person live the life that God has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his calling already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Don't be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freeman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was freed when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Oh, sorry. I got to change. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. Yes. So Paul in this section, I think Paul continues addressing real problems the church has. We've gone through. Well, first of all, he encouraged them that all the time that they are in Christ because they've seen what God has done in them. So he continues that. You are my beloved children. You are, by grace, you've been saved. Jesus will keep you until he comes back. And so he keeps encouraging them and correcting them as well. And so we've been talking about they were having lawsuits with each other. They were suing one another. There was sexual immorality in the church. He started this section where he's asking or answering questions from them. There was last week we talked a lot about sex. We talked a lot about marriage. And today he will now address what you will maybe will call social economic issues that translate into the church fellowship. It's also an ethnic issue. and an issue of where do we come from and how do we actually fit into culture. So for some of us, maybe the first few things is a little bit weird because they talk about circumcision and then removing the marks of circumcision. And it's like, how do you even do that? I don't think you should Google that. Don't do that. Just don't do that. But he's very much entering into what is seems to be real problems and issues that have social implications for the believers. I have a slide and that tries to explain some of that, because I think it was this one. So according to these people, some of the young Jews, I'll read it and I'll explain. Young Jews attempted to escape the Jewishness by undergoing a surgical operation to conceal their circumcision. They did this in order to progress in education, both in the gymnasium and in the as citizens. But Jewish Christians was prohibited from renouncing their Jewishness in order to climb the social ladder. This was a period of anti-Semitism noted in Acts there. The Gentile Christians was free to undergo circumcision. The reason for wanting to do this is outlined in Galatians, which, with respect to pleasing God, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision was the central issue. The central issue is obedience to God. And so what they're saying is that, and what Paul maybe is addressing, is that because some people in the church wants to advance in education and social hierarchy, then if you want to gymnasium and the baths, Roman baths and all this stuff, you're embarrassed that you were a Jew. And then you are to advance in society and to climb the social ladder, you would then have some surgery things done so that you didn't look like you were originally a Jew. Now, Paul's not saying it's better to be the Jew or better to be a Christian, but he is addressing that you should not change your physicality or your ethnic up, you cannot say that, but in English, origin to satisfy society, and especially not for your own gain, so that you can get rich or get more. So he's addressing a particular issue that is actually a concern. Now, Paul, I think, is shaking his head like he is with the Galatians. He's like, why don't you understand that it's not the symbol that is the symbol? It's not the symbol of that is the point. The point is that you want to obey God. And that's what you're called to do. And so in a sense, he's saying you are free to worship God in the condition that you are called in. So if you are a Roman, if you are a Jew, if you are a Greek, you don't have to pretend not to be those things in order to worship God. I think, now I'm just going off my remembrance, but I think it also encourages us that what are the social pressures of today? And even also, like, when you are a kid or when you are a parent, or, well, I'm really going to follow God, like, seriously when I become 25. Or I'm really going to follow God seriously when I'm done with my PhD. Or I'm really, really going to worship God more when I get some surgical thing done. And you can fill in the blanks there. Because He's also going against the the social order, and saying, no, it's not for you to be so occupied with what people think about you that you would have surgeries and all sorts of other things so that you will do better in society. And I think even also here, there's also something for the kids here. If you know and love Jesus, you don't have to wait until you're 25 to obey and love Jesus the best you can. I think he's saying that, or I believe he's saying to the people that you can start doing it as soon as you know who he is. There's not all these social things that's holding you back from having a relationship with God. No, if God has called you and Jesus has met you, you can actually do that immediately. And this is also an encouragement for our church because we're from all over the place. So we don't have to become one ethnicity and say, well, we all have to be white, or we all have to be from Asia. No, we don't have to, because God, he calls us where we are to himself. Not that we all become the same, and we're also not called to wear the same clothes. We're not. No, God, that's not how it is. And we're not to. We don't all have to obey by the same ethnic rules, because honestly, they don't totally matter. It matters whether we actually obey God's commands as he has explained to us in Jesus. It matters whether we love God with all heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus. It matters if we love our neighbor and our enemy. It matters if we are living our lives for God instead of for social gain and acceptance. I wrote somewhere in my notes also, and I know this is a physical thing, but it also means that we don't have to fit in online either. We don't have to think that we have to have this perfect social media presence before we can then live out our life to who God is. I think what I was sharing with my friends there, like, I could probably do better, but I think God is calling us to do what we can where we are. I think this is the main reason what he's saying, Paul, is don't wait until you think you know everything. Live out the love and the understanding that you have gotten from me to the people around you. And you can do that immediately when you have met me and I've called you. So it's not all these physical things or social things that we have to jump through before we can live the lives that God has called us to. Paul would then go on to address another issue, and there's not maybe a lot of us who are slaves in this kind of sense. But Paul is addressing the issue because it is actually a deal in Rome and around Rome, that it's estimated that 20 to 40% are slaves. People argue a lot. The historians argue a lot. What does that look like around the whole empire? And some say that it's lower in the other places, so it's probably lower in Corinth. But we're still saying that it's quite a large population that are slaves or bondservants. And so Paul is addressing that the main issue is not your social standing. So he's saying if you're bound to a master and he, it's not, you don't have to wait to follow Jesus. You can actually follow Jesus in the social order that you were called. He even says, don't be concerned about it. And then he goes and said, well, it's good if you gain your freedom, but it's not, you don't have to wait to follow Jesus until you gain your freedom. And then he talks and says about them, because when you were called, by God, you were made free in Christ. And then he contrasts this to the ones who are free and says, well, the free, they were made bondservants of Christ. So he's saying, whether you are a free person, if you are a free person, if you are a free person, then you're actually not free to do whatever you want. You are free to obey Jesus. You are free to take upon yourself Jesus' yoke and live for him. You are free to become a bondservant of Christ. You're free to choose your master and to follow him. And he talks to the people who are already enslaved and say, you are actually bought free. So in Christ's eyes, you are free. You are free to worship God. And so he's going into this social economical structure and saying, it doesn't disqualify you if you are a bondservant. It doesn't disqualify you from salvation, redemption, from serving Jesus. You still actually only have one master. This is what he's saying to him. Yes, I know you have a physical master, but he's actually not your master. You, in some sense, are free because now you work to the glory of God. You work to the glory of Jesus. He's your true master. So your master is the same as the ones who are free, who also have chosen their master to be Jesus. So the way they live out their faith is also, or the way they live out their faith, the way that we live out our faith, like, who is our Lord really? Is it the people we work for, or is it Jesus? And so this is also what Paul is mentioning to them. Even though you work for someone, you actually work, your true master is Jesus. And so we can ask ourselves that question, is that how I work? Do I work for you guys, or do I actually work for Jesus? You can say that about yourself. Do I work for my boss to please him, or do I work to please Jesus, who is my master and whom I am a bondservant of? Some people have critiqued Paul here, and it's oftentimes done because Paul is not saying that slavery is evil and should be abolished. And therefore, because Paul is not condemning, therefore he is condoning slavery. I think that's a gross misreading and not a very good understanding of historical history. I will try not to make it too long, but as most people know, slavery has been going on for a long time, and bondservanthood and all sorts of other things. Paul's not addressing that social structure. He's addressing that even if you are in that structure, you can still worship God. So Paul's not calling for the abolishness of this social structure. Roman and Greek slavery is a little bit different than Jewish slavery. And these types of slavery has absolutely nothing to do with the slavery you had in the U.S. So this has nothing to do with where you come from. Slavery can be different things. It's a social structure that if you go into debt, you sell yourself for a certain amount of time so you can get out of debt. So most people are slaves today because they're really indebted. So in some sense, we are indebted to whoever we owe money. And they are, in principle, our masters. There's also other ways that you can become a slave. You can get captures in war. So if you're spared in war and they don't kill you, you can become a slave. Also, just before we not become too self-righteous, slavery is still very, very much a part of the world today. I was pressing ChatGPT and other sources to say, is it worse today? Is the slavery way worse? And it was a little bit hard to get any good points. But there's tons of slaves today. There are people held by their own will and sex trafficking and all sorts of things. There are plenty of people who are enslaved today. Now, that's not necessarily an encouraging thing. But encouraging for them would be, that doesn't cut you off from Christ. You can actually meet Christ, worship Christ, and be saved by him, even in that. As I was saying, there's slavery in Jewish and Roman and Greek is a social structure. And it was not necessarily only good or bad. It all depended on who your master was. In Rome, a slave could actually have more rights and could do more things in trade and other things if you were a free person. But you could also be a slave in a mine, which is very dangerous, and you highly likely would die. So the structure comes back to who is your master. What is the master then supposed to do? Well, there's rights and responsibilities, and the master was supposed to feed you, give you shelter, clothes, and provide protection for you. There are reports of some people in the Roman Empire, they would sell themselves if there was civil unrest, if there was wars. They would sell themselves to a rich person who could protect them. And then when this, when that trouble was over, they would buy their freedom and go out. So it would be protecting themselves against trouble. As I was writing these things, it is very interesting of how much is all bound up in who is your owner, who is your master, of what your bond servanthood would look like. Let's say we are all slaves, but that we get to choose the master. Will we choose God or something else? Paul writes that we who are free are actually, we who are free in Christ are actually his bondservants. So we have chosen our master. We have chosen the master, our Lord, Jesus Christ. So we are set free to do what he wants us to do, not whatever we want to do. We've chosen his yoke. And if we look at all the masters in the world, Jesus is the greatest master. So it would be good to choose him. We can look and say, well, am I a willing bondservant? Am I a joyful bondservant? Am I a grateful bondservant? Or would I tend to want to be more concerned with what the world says and about social acceptance and growing, ascending through the social structures to attain all sorts of things? Or am I more concerned about what my master asks me to do? Paul, he says to the people, well, I'm saying you can worship Jesus right where you are. And I'm saying to you guys, you should be his bondservant. And then he's also saying, well, I'm not saying that you should not get free. If that's the possibility, yeah, avail yourself of the opportunity to be free. That you could become a freedman, a person who had been a slave but was now free. But in whatever state that you are asked to follow and worship God. Again, I really do think that is a huge encouragement. That whatever state you were saved from, you can worship God. Paul will say that, yes, just this one before we move on. Likewise, the Christian's vocational situation is a matter of little consequence. If status can be changed, well and good. If not, it doesn't matter for worry. What matters is that every Christian should realize he is Christ's slave and needs to render obedience to him. Every vocation then becomes Christian service performed for the master. So, yeah, just saying, summarizing what I was saying is that it doesn't matter who we work for, because we actually really work. If we're in Christ, we work for him. He is our master. Paul returns to this verse. Coming back to it and say, no matter if you're bond servant or free, you were bought free. Christ came, as we were singing about, he came and lived perfect life, and he paid a price so that you were bought free. And so he's saying that the price has already been paid by Jesus. If you accept this, you are free in him. And therefore, don't mutilate yourself or unmutilate yourself, or don't try to ascend through social structures. That's not the point. The point is that you can worship God exactly in the way that you were called, because Christ paid for you. And therefore, worship God where you were called. And also, don't become slaves of men, because you have been bought free by Jesus. And I think the good news here is that there's no one is left out. It doesn't matter. The good news is no one's left out. Whoever will come and who believe in Jesus is welcome. Bond free, poor, rich, student, worker, employer. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, you're Roman, you're Greek, you're Asian, you're North American, South American. Christ has paid the price for whoever will come. And so that's the good news we have. It's not like you have to become some ethnicity or you have to attain to a certain social status. No, it's for whoever will come. And you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to have all your limbs. You don't have to have all functional limbs. You don't have to have dark hair. You don't have to have a certain shape of nose. No, social standing and physical standing, where you are is where Christ has set us free and bought us from. So he's gifting us to live the life right now. We don't have to wait for something, but we can actually, with the faith that God has given us and the place where he has now, live out our faith in him. And by the Holy Spirit, people around us will see who he is. That's also, again, for the kids. That also goes to you. If you know and love Jesus, you can also live that out. So you don't have to become a certain amount of years. We just do, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what God calls us to do. And it's also wrote us, it's not when my body feels better, it's not when I am in a certain shape, it's not that. No. Well, whatever condition we have. And that also helps us, because when you reach a certain age, our body doesn't work the same. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that God stops having a plan for us. Because just as with the young, it's the same for old. Whether we're 70, 80, 100, when God still has us here, he has something for us. And he knows our gifts and abilities, so there's great hope that he will use us all of our lives to share and to serve and obey him. And that we can have joy in knowing that he is not done with us and that he can use us no matter what situation, social standing we have. Christ can use us because he has chosen us. And we are welcome to become his and understand that we actually live for him. And not our pressure from social media, social structures. We are freed from those things. We have one master, and he is Christ. And he's the gracious master. So we don't have to be slaves of work, others' opinion, tradition, religion, our own ambition, our own goals, money, status, sports teams, social media, debts. We can live in within our means and worship God for who he is. He's asking us not to become a bondservant of men, but know that we are a bondservant of Christ. So I think the main point, which I think I've said many things, is that no matter where we are at, socially, economically, employed, unemployed, overemployed, whatever situation we're in, also whatever social media setting we're in, all the pressures we have, I think Christ says you can let all those things go and not feel pressured by those and come and be my servant. Take my yoke upon you and know that whatever you are called in, you can worship me as the good master. So I think that's the huge encouragement that Paul brings here. And he brings it into a multicultural church like ours and temples, prostitution and all religious and unreligious, all sorts of things. A culture like ours may be very confused that the good news is actually for whoever will believe. So I think we have this great news, and I pray that you are encouraged today with what Christ has done, that you are called and he has something for you to do every day. That as we prayerfully consider every day, he can do things that might for us might seem, you know, just normal, but actually has a great impact. I think there's tons of freedom in knowing that we choose Christ as our master and not everyone else. So we can relax and be like, when I work for someone, I can relax. It's not for human praise. It is because I want Jesus to be praised and encouraged. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and your for this text and for how Paul encourages the church to not be so concerned about what everybody else thinks. Knowing that it doesn't matter if they're slave or free, that they are free in Christ to be your followers, Jesus. That he encourages them all from all different backgrounds. They don't have to make themselves be exactly the same. But with whatever they are called, they can serve you. But I pray we will understand that. I pray young and old, we will also understand that. Middle age, we will keep finding the way you have for us. I pray you will free all of us from expectations of social structures and religions and social media and TV and all things. I pray you would release us from those bonds mentally to understand that you are the master that we serve. Pray you will bless each of us with that and encourage us, fill us with your Holy Spirit to see and know this. And I pray we will encourage one another with this. That we can encourage each other and see the things that God has created in us, gifts and abilities that we can encourage one another to use them, to encourage one another, to build each other up, and to shine the light and share the word of your good news. That is for whoever will come. So, Lord, we pray that you glorify yourself in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one more slide. And this is kind of like an old guy just summarizing, that's called summarizing the passage. In verse 17 to 24, the rules of Christianity reaches the very condition, and in every state of a man may live as to be accredited to it. It is the duty of every Christian to be content with his lot and to conduct himself in the rank and place as he becomes a Christian. Our comfort and happiness depends on what we are in Christ, not what we are in the world. No man should think to make his faith or religion an argument to break through any natural or civil obligations. He should quietly and contentably abide in the condition in which he is placed by divine providence. It's very old words to say that our main point is to follow Jesus and to be encouraged that he has called us to follow him. Now we will celebrate the communion together, where we're reminding exactly why this good news is for whoever will come.